Well, welcome everyone, and God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. God is just so amazing. And when we spend time with our Father, then He really directs our heart. He really speaks to us when we use what God's given us, which is the Spirit of God, which we receive when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, and we believe God raised Him from the dead. God empowered us and equipped us and gave us direct connection that we can go directly to Him. When there's things going on in our life that we're not certain about, when there's uncertainty in our life, which there will be at times, things come up. We're on a journey. You know, every one of us is on a journey with God. And God wants that journey to be a smooth journey and a blessed journey, despite challenges, despite situations. And each time there is a challenge or a situation, you know, when we look to God, we grow in strength. And God is with us, and He really is for us. And I just perceived in my heart that there's many believers still struggling out there. God wants you to know that He's with you right now. He's going to deliver you in your situation. He's going to provide for you. He's already provided everything that He's going to give you in Christ. Everything is ours to freely enjoy. When it comes to direction, God's got the direction. When it comes to our economy, God's got the provision. When it comes to our health, God's got the healing. See, God has everything that we need. And we don't need to go anywhere else to get that need supplied. Because God says He supplies all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God wants us to be dependent upon Him and not upon ourselves. He doesn't want us to depend upon our own abilities, our own efforts. He doesn't want us to depend upon anybody else's wisdom or understanding. Even though we can be encouraged and counseled and put in the right direction by other people that God's working in, God has given you direct access to go directly to Him, and that you can get your answers from Him. You can receive God's wisdom, which is already in you by way of that Spirit. We know in Ephesians, and I've taught it many times, that God has lightened our eyes with the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God is at work in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure. And He's working, and He has great journey ahead before you. He has great success stories before you. He has that land flowing with milk and honey that He's leading you to, where you can truly flourish as a believer, where you can truly grow, where you can truly move in the gifting and calling that God's called you to. And God is not a respecter of persons. We know that God wants faith. He wants us to believe. Jesus Christ was always encouraging His people to believe. Yeah, so God really just wants us to believe Him and to stay focused on Him, not to be distracted, not to think what other people are thinking. And, you know, don't listen to other people. Just listen to God. In your situation, you go to God. He's going to tell you first what you need to do. And if you miss it, then God will work in someone to speak those things that you need to hear, to remind you, to encourage you, because He's a God of encouragement. Paul was encouraging the believers at Philippi. He said this in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, go into God. And supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So we give thanks to God because we know He hears us. We know that He will give us the desires of our heart because He's our first love. Our focus is on Him. So when you're in a trying situation, when you have need, then you go to God and you be specific in your prayer and you give Him thanks that what you've already prayed for is yours, and you know that God's coming through. You know His timing and His delivery is absolutely perfect for you, so that He gets the glory, He gets the praise, because He's a mighty, powerful God. And in verse 7 it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus," or through Christ Jesus. See, fear is what stops the flow of God. Fear, unbelief, doubt, worries, these things stop the peace that you need to receive anything from God, because God doesn't answer you in the storms of life. Okay, but He answers you when you're at peace within those storms, because our trust and our focus is on Him. We know in Proverbs it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him." So like, whatever's going on, whatever you are doing, just acknowledge God first. Keep Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, sometimes we might be thinking we're putting God first, but are we really? This takes time to sit down and reflect on where we are in our walk. You know, and you could be keeping God first and you could be having challenges coming left, right and center. But that's great because we know God's with us and we don't have to worry or freak out. We don't have to fear why this person's being like this to us, why this isn't coming to us, why this hasn't been provided. We just keep our eyes fixed on God and we just declare what His word says, and we say what the promises are. We don't say what our circumstances says. And Paul knew this, and Paul encourages the believers to be careful for nothing. And this word careful means anxious, you know, uptight, all out of joint, all out of sync. You know, God wants us to have that perfect alignment with Him, to use the connection that He's given us, to use His authority that He's given us. And God, by Paul, is saying, don't be troubled with cares. Don't let these things burden you down. Don't let these things steal your peace. When we do anything in our own strength, we tend to seek to promote our own interests. See, we seek to provide for ourselves. Being anxious sets our focus on ourself, and it sets us up to use our own wisdom. See, and God says His peace passeth all understanding, like our own logic, our own way of trying to resolve a situation or problem. And then we tend to make the wrong moves, and we get the wrong results. But God says, now you wait on me. Just wait for me. Expect from me. I will supply. I will give you the things that you need to move forward in strength and not in weakness. You know, you be strong in me and in the power of my might. That's all through the scriptures. In the scriptures we can see God encouraged Joshua, be strong. God, by way of Paul, encouraged the church at Ephesus, you know, put on all the armor of God, to be strong in the Lord. And that's what we're to do. We're to be strong in the Lord, not strong in our negativity or our strong in our wrong confession or thinking, but we're to be strong in God, in our expectation to God. So like in challenging times, Paul just encouraged these believers to give everything to God, to lay their request and case before God with thanksgiving, and to let God know, okay, this is what we need, Father, this is what we're coming to you for, and we expect from you, the mighty God, the creators of the heaven and the earth, that put all the stars in place, that created all the galaxies, the sun and the moon and the sea and the earth, and even us. So like God has an endless supply, God knows how to solve situations so that we go to Him. We don't go to anyone else. So when we go to God in challenging times, we got to give our cares and we got to just lay it before His feet and leave them there. Cast all your cares to Him. When we go to God, we lift the burdens and the weight of the burden off ourselves and our needs. And this allows God's peace to remain within our hearts and minds so we can receive God's wisdom above our own understanding. It's only the wisdom from God that provides the peace that passes our own understanding. And we do not have to try and figure everything out on our own. When we do, we become anxious, which hinders the supply of God's wisdom to our minds on how we should move and proceed. God is the one that gives to us wisdom, which infuses us to gain strength and to solve the problems and to turn a not so good situation around, and so we can make wise decisions. You know, God says, be not wise in your own eyes. Okay, we don't want to be wise in our own eyes, and we need more than good advice from people. We need God's wisdom, and when we go directly to God, because we got that access to God, seeking His heart and wisdom, then God will supply His wisdom to us. It, you know, it's as we submit unto Him and as we expect from Him, God will show you when to go, when to stop, when to speak, when to keep quiet. He will show you how you respond. And He doesn't want you to react. You know, a reaction is like if someone went to hit me, my initial reaction would be to put my arm up if they were going to hit me in the face, right? But, you know, God wants us to be on the ball with Him. And He wants us to respond, be alert, be sharp, be sober thinking, be focused, you know, keeping your eyes on Him. See, is when we enter into God's rest, we cease from our own works. That is when the right direction comes to us, resting in God, is setting our minds and focus on Him. That's what resting in God is trust in Him. See, God's wisdom helps you to see clearly where you are, where other people are, and how to handle your situation that you need to deal with so you can move forward and not stay stuck where you are. And it's so easy to stay stuck where we are because we're thinking, well, why has this happened? Why did people turn on me? Why did people, you know, say this about me? Why didn't this come through? You know, what's this going on? You know, I thought God was with me. Well, God is with you. And we do have an enemy, but he's defeated. And we have to have that mindset that he is. And that when something comes up that's not right, then we take it directly to God straight away. And the first thing that has helped me to stay focused with God is that I know God has a plan and a purpose in my life. I know there's peaks and valleys in life, but nothing can stop what God has planned for me as I stay trusting in him. And what God has begun in me, he's going to do, you know, because you're complete and I'm complete. What God has begun in you, he will do. Learning to trust God's timing is important, because when we're impatient is when we start to do things in our own effort. And God has given you and me a purpose, a reason to keep moving with determination and resolve. When we look at the circumstances, our faith becomes low-level faith, and God wants us to have a high level of faith. So where's the level of your faith? Colossians 3:15 is another great record. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." See, being thankful is just so very important, because instead of complaining that we got lack, or we haven't got this, or we haven't got that, we just thank God for what we got. We thank God that he has supplied. We thank God that his answers are coming. We thank God that he knows our need, and that we have gone to him. He's on duty. In other words, he's on duty, he knows what's going on, and he's working behind the scenes to help resolve our situation. See, we are the ones to decide to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And God's peace is to govern our hearts, is to be the umpire in our hearts, is to rule our minds. It doesn't say let your problems and fears and lacks rule your heart. It says let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And when you have God's peace and you keep allowing it to rule, you do it by keeping your focus on God. Isaiah 26 says this in verse 3. Thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So we're to keep our mind steadfast on God. And we're to be confident in him. And the one way to do this is like in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we control our thinking. We just remind ourselves what God says, that God is for us, that God is with us. And we need to remember the importance of time. Time is just very important. So there's two aspects of time. And that is, one, that God's timing is absolutely perfect. We may want something right now, but it may not be God's timing. And God's timing is perfect, so that you are edified, that you know it comes from him, and that he gets glorified through that. And the other aspect of time I'm talking about is the time and quality of time you spend with God is more important than what is going on around you. And if you're going to rise above your situation, if we're going to carry out God's assignment in our lives, if we're going to make wise decisions and take great choices, we need quality and quantity of time with the Father. We need to give him time, and we need to spend time with him. If we want to become more successful in our day-by-day living, in our ministries, in our families, in our workplaces, in our fellowship, if we want to be more successful and productive, then our time is spent wisely in the secret place with God. You know, we go to him and we seek his heart. We fellowship and commune with him. We need to set ourselves to hear God's voice above the voice of the world. Ask yourself, whose voice do I hear more clearly? There's many voices speaking, but we're not interested in the many voices speaking. We're interested in hearing the voice of God. So out of all the multitudes that followed Jesus, he only chose 12 disciples. When Jesus came walking on the water, where was he before that? When Jesus knew his friend Lazarus was ill, why did he wait to the point Lazarus died? See, Jesus spent quality of time with the Father. He made it his priority. He heard the Father's voice and he spoke the Father's word, and he did nothing in his own effort or ability. Sometimes when we hear someone's ill, we want to rush into the situation. We want to go there, but we need a word from God. We need to hear his voice. Father, yeah, we know that we can go. We know that we can do these things, but do you want me to go right now? What do you want me to do in this situation? So going to God when situations arise is the first port of call, and then waiting to hear his direction. And you're knowing your heart because of that peace. Now, anything that comes from God is first peaceable, then it's easy to be entreated, it's gentle. So wait for God's voice, wait to hear the reply. We do a lot of time praying. We need to do some more time listening for that still small voice. See, Jesus, he spent time in the garden before he went through his suffering and humiliation and death. He drew his strength from God by going to God. This gave him strength to go through with it, knowing the joy that was set before him. He was strengthened because he went to God, and he needed the strength to go through what he was going through. And Jesus Christ received the answers and the wisdom from God, and then he was obedient to God to do it. Let's go to John chapter 8. I want to read a record in there. Verses 1 to 8, it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? So they were saying to Jesus, look, the scriptures say that Moses said that this such a woman should be stoned. What do you say about it? Trying to trick him. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But what did Jesus do? It says here, but Jesus stooped down, and with his fingers wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, here's a word from God. He that is without sin amongst you, let him cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. See, Jesus Christ wasn't being rushed in the situation. Okay, he was being pressured. He was had this situation stuck in front of his face. But he took time with the Father in the situation. And he got clear, and he listened to the Father, and he spoke what the Father gave him to speak. And that's what we need to do. We can learn from this. We can practice this in our own life. It's a practice. And then you grow and develop in that. Verse 8 says, and he began, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So Jesus' wisdom in this situation came from where? It came from God. Go to 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll see another record of God's wisdom. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was the delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save the two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No. But the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one said, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other say, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman, who the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. For they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Listen, the wisdom of God is in you. Solomon's wisdom in this situation came from God. And so God has given us wisdom, and we have that wisdom in the revelation, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and in situations God can inspire and give us his thoughts and ideas when we go to him, when we allow him to go to work. And that wisdom comes through, and as we act out on what God shows us to do, then we see the benefits, we see the deliverance, we see the provision. So, like, really go to God, and the scriptures show us that is God's wisdom in all of these situations. Like, even with the interpretation of dreams with Joseph, where did the wisdom come from? How was Joseph able to interpret Pharaoh's dream? It's because God revealed it to him. God showed him the wisdom of the dream and what it meant. And so God was able to promote Joseph in that situation. See, Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. You can read that in Genesis 3:8. And they had perfect fellowship with God. But the things went wrong when Eve hearkened unto the voice of the serpent. And then Adam hearkened unto the voice of Eve, his wife. And then we all know the result. Whose voice are you hearkening unto? Whose voice do you listen to? Do you listen to your wife or your husband above God? Do you listen to your employer or the hospital above God? No, we get our wisdom from God, from the Father. Don't let any other voice tell you what to do. You go to God and in your situation, and he will give you the wisdom that you need. See, we all have desires and needs, and we all seek God's direction, and we all want God to hear us. And in the book of Psalms, we can read the psalmist declare to God, "Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Let your ears be attentive to my voice of my supplication. Hearken unto my speech." See, David cried out and called upon God, and God heard him and answered him. So we can see from the record that when someone turned their heart to the Father, he answered them. See, we need to spend time waiting for God's answers and expect him to answer us in our situation. And we know that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. We need to listen to his still small voice. Like with Elijah, God didn't talk to him in the wind and the rain and all this stuff. It was in the quiet that he heard God's still small voice. Even David said, "No, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." See, God is the one that leads us. He restores my soul. He guides my path in righteousness for his name's sake. Though I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, David's trust was in God. And God was the one that led him beside the still waters, so David could hear God's voice. David could know what to do in the situation. See, fellowship is a two-way conversation. And God will answer you back in one way or another. And it's up to him how he replies to you and when. For example, it could be through reading the scripture. It could come by way of another believer. It could come by way of the Spirit, from his Spirit to your heart and mind. A revelation. God could just put it straight there. See, God also sent an angel with his reply to Daniel. When Daniel prayed, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to give him his answer. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Like with Solomon, God chose to speak to him through dreams, or through a vision, like with Peter in Acts chapter 10, when Peter went up onto the housetop. So we really can expect God's answers and wisdom, and we can really hear the voice of God. Today, we're sons of God filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are spiritually minded, we have life and peace. When we have the carnal mind, it's death. There's no peace. When we're walking by our five senses, there is no peace. And this is when we start to do things our way, in our own effort, in our own ability. See, and when we do that, we just lose that peace from God. And we don't have the direction. We see from the wonderful examples of Jesus Christ, how he walked with God and how he manifested the power of God. His word was with authority, and God gave him what he needed to speak. People were healed and raised from the dead. Blind eyes were open. He directed and connected people to God. He encouraged his followers that they could do the same works that he'd done and greater works because he goes to the Father. Jesus, having fulfilled his ministry, is now sat down at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated in him. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive sonship, and we receive the word and ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people back to God through the preaching and teaching of the good news concerning Jesus Christ. And God wants us to encourage people to go directly to God, their source of supply in every area, because that's what God is. God wants us to connect people to God and to be led by God. And God has given us direct access to him. And we need to go boldly before God. In Romans 5:2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, into this favor wherewith we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Let's go back to Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Right? So God will give to you. This is a prayer from Paul, inspired by God. And God is the one that gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are you, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. See, we have wisdom from the source of all wisdom with God. We have the ability of God in Christ in us to declare what he puts in our hearts to speak into other people's life, to make known God unto them. That he is the living God, the fountains of living water that never run dry. His supply of wisdom and insight and understanding are unlimited. Don't forget that in Jeremiah it says, for my people have forsaken me. See, people forsook God. And we don't want to forsake God, because he's a living God and he's actively at work in your life right now. And God knows what you need. He knows what your needs is, and God knows your worries and your fears and your doubts, and God has provided for all of us. Now God is saying, come to me, ask me, and I will give to you. Only believe that I'm able to do for you. Like, know that Jehovah, he sees in order to provide, to deliver, to heal, to set you free. God says, all I require of you is to believe. Be still and know that I am God. I will be to you what you need me to be. I am for you whatever you need me to be. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will perform my word to you. I am not like man that lie and let you down. See, God is not like a man that he should lie. And one thing you need to do is believe God. Believe in his provision that he has already waiting to release to you. So you can manifest it, and that you can manifest his supply. And you can go forth and declare his word and make him known. The creators of the heaven and earth, make known his wonderful son and the price he paid for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth. That all has been provided by God through his son Jesus Christ. You know, and God is saying, I'm with you. God says, I'm for you. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on God, guys. Don't get distracted by what other people are telling you. Don't be distracted by what the world is telling you. Your situations are telling you. God wants us to enter into his rest and to cease from our works and our own ways. You know, guys, fear and unbelief will stop you from entering into God's rest, just like it did the children of Israel. See, God was going to give them the rest from all their enemies so that they could dwell safely. But those that had hard hearts did not enter into the promised land. Only those that trusted God entered into that promised land. See, it's when we cease from our own works and efforts and totally trust God that his wisdom and direction and supply starts flooding through to us. Just refuse to worry, refuse to give up, refuse to draw back in fear, and trust God and look to God and move forward with faith and expectancy. See, when you're at peace and trust in God, you will hear his voice. You will not have to worry, because you know what to do and when to do it and why you're doing it. You will see his provision come to you. You will see his abundance flow to you. So stay focused with God, because he's the fountain of living water. Spend quality time with the Father. Let's be committed to doing what the Father has shown us, and let's have the resolve to carry out what He's shown us to do. Let's not go with our own agendas, our own ideas of how to move the world, of how to help people, but let's move with the wisdom of God. He shows it all in the Scriptures, and He's working in you right now in lifetime to really move powerfully. And listen, you can't make anything grow. You can't make anything increase. It's God that gives the increase. It's God that causes the growth as we turn our hearts to Him. So this is what was really in my heart to encourage you guys. You know, we go to God in every situation. Who else are you going to go to? They might help you temporarily, but God gives you the permanent fix. He gives you the permanent deliverance, the permanent direction. And He's with you right now. And it's according to your faith, be it unto you. So guys, be careful who you're listening to. Listen to that still small voice in you. And God is working within you. You got the Spirit of God in you. And when you are tuned in with the Father, you won't go wrong. He will guide you, and He'll show you where to be. He's planted you by the rivers of living water. And those living waters are flowing in you. And His direction is coming to you. So God bless you.